Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you. Just thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness, your faithfulness to us. We're just so thankful for calling us into your service. And for just so many in the room who just want to do that, to just be about what you're about, whatever it costs, whatever it takes. And we want to just keep being that kind of a people. And we know you supply every need that we'll ever have to do that. We know it's by your Spirit. It's not by might or power. It's by your Spirit that we get to do anything. So thank you for allowing us to partner with you, to love on people, to care for them, to provide for them. I pray, Lord, as I speak today, that you'll just continue to position us to be your vessels in the earth in 2024 and moving into 2025, that we'll shine light wherever we go, that we'll reach into communities. We'll love the unlovely. We'll care for ones who have been rejected. We'll step into messy situations, whether it's addiction or identity issues or poverty, illness. We know you are positioning us to be your hands and feet, whatever that looks like and whatever it takes. And so we thank you for so many willing vessels, for every provision you make for us to do it. It's all for your glory, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So thanks for being here today. Title of the message is Take Up Your Positions. Take up your positions. I will say right from the start, you've been around here any length of time, at least let's say the last 5-6 months. We've been talking a lot about, and I'm going to say this up front, that these lessons from the past, the one in particular, that I did a two-part series called Seated with Him in Heavenly Places, that we are operating from that position. So as I talk about take up your positions, we're operating from that position of being seated with Jesus in heavenly places. And so anything we get to do, it's from that posture, that we are partners with Him. Now, He's Savior, we're not, but He tells us we're seated with Him. And I could go through all kinds of lessons we've had over the last 6 months. I did another one called Occupy Until He Comes. We're taking up that position of occupying in the earth today until Jesus returns. We're His hands and feet until He returns. Last week, Pastor Shane's message, the face, that we are operating from that position of looking into the face of Jesus, that we keep our eyes gazed on Him as we go through life every day, day by day by day. We're functioning from that place. Pastor Ben's word, through His hands, that we get to be hands and feet as we function as His hands and feet on the earth. The mind of Christ, yes, Lord, broken pieces, the counsel of His presence, all these messages. It's sort of the same idea, but reinforced. So He's telling us, take up your positions. And we're going to look at a fairly sizable section of scripture out of 2 Chronicles. And before we get into 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I want to just tell you a little bit about King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat is the king we're going to talk about here. And just a few things about him that we learn about in chapter 17. I don't have these verses up there. But the scriptures tells us that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the ways of his father David before him. He didn't consult with the Baals, but sought the God of his father and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel. The Lord established the kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat. So he was a man of great honor and great wealth. He was well respected. Scripture tells us his heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms around him because of his devotion to Jesus. So just think about that for a minute, just that idea for a minute. Because of his devotion to Jesus, fear fell among the people around, the kingdoms around, the people around him. So think about that in our own life. As we as a body, just think about that as just even this location, this fellowship, this building. But then also think about your own life, your own home, where you live, where you rule, where you reign, where you operate, wherever it is you function. That as we stay devoted to Jesus unequivocally, without hesitation, that there's a result of that. The result was that fear fell on the places surrounding that area. What would happen? What would happen if fear just gripped this region because of the people of God, not just Abundant Life Fellowship? There's lots of great churches around. Just because of the people of God stayed so devoted and were walking so closely with Jesus. So just give that some thought. Some other things we learn about Jehoshaphat. He went out among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim. He appointed judges in the land, and here's what he told them. Consider carefully what you do, because you are not judging for mere mortals, but for the Lord, who is with you whenever you give a verdict. Just think about that for a minute. Think about that in whatever role you play in life, how you function. Do you function with that in mind, that you belong to Jesus, that you belong to him, and so you function with that kind of an integrity? Let's think about that. Here's what he told those that he appointed. Now, let the fear of the Lord be on you. Judge carefully, for with the Lord our God, there is no injustice or partiality or bribery. He appointed some of the Levites, priests, heads of Israelite families, to administer the law of the Lord, to settle disputes. And he gave them these orders. You must serve faithfully and wholeheartedly in the fear of the Lord. In every case that comes before you, you are to warn them not to sin against the Lord. Again, apply this to ourselves. Whatever it is that we're doing, whatever conversations we're in, whatever topic comes up, are we operating faithfully, wholeheartedly in every case? Don't sin against the Lord. So then, soon after this period of time, and we're going to move into 2 Chronicles now, it says the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some Meunites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. So this is where we're going to pick up in the scripture. So some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is En-Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. So from there, Jehoshaphat stands up in front of this crowd of people because he said he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. So let's just pause there for a minute. So a situation comes up that alarmed him. Ever been in a situation in your life that alarmed you? What was his position? What was his position? We'll talk about position right from the start here. What was his position as news came that alarmed him? He resolved to inquire of the Lord. Is that our natural tendency? Is that our natural go-to when something comes into our life that should be? But is that what we do? That we resolve at that moment, here's a situation that is alarming to me. So his position, I'm inquiring of God. And then he proclaims a fast. He proclaims a fast. He proclaims a fast for the whole community, all of Judah, everybody. So then he's standing in front of this group of people, and he's going to be praying here. It says, from there, Jehoshaphat stands up in front of the assembly and begins to pray. And he concludes his prayer with these words. We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. It's funny, yesterday at men's prayer meeting at 6:30, for those that don't know, we have 6:30 prayer meeting every Saturday at Pastor Shane's house. You're all invited if you're a man. Anytime you want to come, 6:30 to his house. At yesterday's men's prayer meeting, somebody prayed something of this ilk, said, there's things that come up sometimes, we don't know what to do, Lord. We don't know what to do. Had no idea this was in my message. We don't know what to do, Lord. We don't know what to do, Lord. Ever been in a situation? Ever been in a situation, confronted with a situation where you don't know what to do? I have. We all have. But he resolved to seek the face of God. He said, our eyes are on you, Lord. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So right from the start, we see Jehoshaphat taking an important position in response to a looming attack. A resolve to inquire of God, proclaim a fast, followed by acknowledgement that human powerlessness, but our eyes are on you, Lord. Our eyes are on you. So I included this next verse in 13, because here's what it says, and this struck out so profoundly to me. All the men of Judah with their wives and their children and little ones stood there before the Lord. So little ones suggests to me that there's babies, because he already identifies children, so that they brought their entire families to this gathering, this fast, their entire families. And I want to encourage you, just because you have children doesn't mean they have to be excluded from the plans of God. And one of my examples, and I'm going to give this as an example, this was just something that happened a few weeks ago in worship, that the Monteleones had come into the service, and the Monteleones are sitting over here, just wave your hand over here. They had come into service, they sat back there, I think there was all kinds of people here, they sat back there, and they have three children, including one in a stroller, and they came in during worship, and anybody that has children knows that it takes effort to get to church on Sunday morning, right, Sarah? It takes effort. And it takes commitment. And they came walking in and they pulled into their little group over there and their seats over there. And it wasn't too long where they're just entering into worship. And it wasn't too long after they entered into worship that the whole family ended up right down here. The baby and all in the stroller, right down here. And it was just such an example to me when I read this verse. All the men of Judah with their wives and their children, their little ones, stood there before the Lord. And here's this family. And they're not the only ones. Obviously, if you saw worship today, there's children everywhere. But that's just stuck out to me so profoundly that particular Sunday, that here's this family with a how old is the new book? 4 months. 4 months old. 4 months old. And it didn't stop them from worshiping. So this was profound to me that everybody showed up at this gathering, when King Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. We're all here, Lord. We're all here, Lord. We're all here, Lord. And I sometimes think, and I'm going to make this point, what do we do with that? As I see Ian coming in with his children, there's effort involved with that. There's effort involved. But you guys do it. Again, we just celebrated baptisms of children because parents are making that provision for their children to come and hear the word of the Lord, to come and be raised in the ways of Jesus. So that's just a side note. This is just appetizer. So then we get to the meat of this passage. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. This is a man standing there who's going to speak a prophetic word. Son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly, he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerul. You will not have to fight this battle." Says that twice. You will not have to fight this battle. "Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow." So the instruction from a prophetic man was, settle down. Settle down. You just take up your position. You take up your position. Lord's going to do something on your behalf, but you take up your position. They still had to march. They still had to show up. He didn't say go home. They still had to show up. So the showing up is relevant here, and that's a familiar phrase around here from anyone that's been here for any length of time. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But they had to show up. He said they even had to march down and face them. You have to march down and face them. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. What position are they taking here? We are bowing ourselves before our Father. We are worshiping. Think for a minute. What position do you take when you're facing a battle? What position do you take? Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld." They've already heard a word. They've already heard what the assignment was. And he's just reiterating, have faith that this word is going to come to pass. Have faith in the prophets and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord, to praise him for the splendor of his holiness, as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Some were appointed. Men were appointed to sing. To sing. That was their position. That was their assignment. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. That's what they're singing. They're not singing anything about the battle. They're not singing anything about supernatural strength to defeat the enemy. They're singing about the Lord's goodness. Did you ever go into a battle and just sing about the Lord's goodness rather than the crisis at hand? Nothing wrong with making your requests about the crisis. I'm not begrudging that at all. But the example we're seeing here is they're just thanking God for his goodness. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah. He set ambushes. I'd like a lot more detail here about what that actually looked like, but this is what we got. He set ambushes against the men. I mean, it had to be just angelic forces that were just set into motion. And here's what happened. They were defeated. They were defeated. Amen. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. They're fighting one another now. They're just fighting one another. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. No words. No words. He did what he said he was going to do. You will not have to fight this battle. They would have to show up. They would have to show up. They would have to show up on the scene. There are things that we have to show up for. Not because the doors are open and you're expected to show up for everything that happens when the doors are open. This isn't any legalistic type thing. It's one of those things that when we show up, something happens that we didn't expect and that we wouldn't experience if we weren't there to experience it. Pastor Don, our founding pastor, for those for whom that name is unfamiliar, Pastor Don Stevenson, it was a line that he used over and over and over again as this church started over there across the way in the small apartment, what was now apartments. It was a body shop, an auto body shop. And for 10 years, we worshiped over there. I was telling somebody just yesterday, we were doing some work in New Waterford, and we passed by it, and I said, that's where the original church was. For 10 years, we used to have to find a place in a side alley somewhere to park because there wasn't enough room. For 10 years, we worshiped there. And Pastor Don was asked over and over again over the early and later years of Abundant Life as it was growing, how did you grow this church? How did you grow this church in this little community? And his answer was, people showed up. People showed up, and they just kept showing up. They kept showing up. They showed up to Bible study. They showed up to small group classes. They showed up for dinners. They showed up for this. They showed up for that. They showed up. And as they showed up, Holy Spirit just honored that and poured himself out, and he started growing a people. Growing a people. It wasn't just a growing in numbers. It was a growing in this walk to wanna live for Jesus in everything we did and everything we said. And that hasn't stopped. That hasn't stopped. So, last Saturday, Connie, my wife, those who don't know who Connie is, Connie's my wife, and Black Friday shopping overnight, Friday into Saturday. And I had dropped her off, and then I was supposed to pick her up sometime Saturday evening. And so I was doing all kinds of things Saturday, and I kept looking at the time. It's like, I don't really know when to expect her. So I was in Columbiana, and I messaged her and said, you have any idea what your time frame is? If you're going to be a while, I'll just go back home. But if you're within a reasonable amount of time, I'll hang around. And so I ended up staying in Columbiana. Actually, I went to Orange Leaf. I went to Orange Leaf and sat there for a while. And I had a pen with me, but I didn't have any paper. But they have napkins. They have napkins at Orange Leaf. And so I just started writing some notes. about just things that had happened that day or just thoughts that were on my mind. And I had been to men's prayer that morning. One of the things about men's prayer that you just have to come to experience what it's about. That particular morning, Holy Spirit is always ministering there, and it seems like he's giving assignments to various people. That particular morning, I had this unction to go around the room and just. Patrick always has his oil. I said, "Do you have your oil?" And he had his oil, and he handed me the jar. And I went around the room, maybe it wasn't. I don't even know if you were there that week. Somebody had oil, but I went around the room, and because it was just a very specific assignment, and it was the Lord is positioning His ecclesia. And we hear the word ecclesia a lot. We've heard it a lot over the last couple of years. And for those that don't know what that term means, it just means God's people. God's called out people to live life on the earth as He has ordained for us to do. And so that particular morning, I just went around and I was like, take your position in God's ecclesia, take your position in God's ecclesia, take your position, Lord's positioning you, Lord's positioning you, Lord's positioning you, Lord's positioning you, Lord's positioning you. And I wrote that down, positioning His ecclesia. And one of the things that the Lord was showing me about, I think the very first thing I wrote down was the significance of showing up. Now, this is before I had gotten into any of these verses, but the significance of showing up. Because when we show up, we enter into an atmosphere where even if, you know, people sometimes think if I come to prayer meeting, I'm going to be put on the spot and have to pray. No. There are lots of people who have shown up at prayer meeting that don't ever say anything out loud, and that's okay. That is no judgment. That's no criticism, but they're in the room. They're in the room. And see, when we're in the room where Holy Spirit is doing something, there's a benefit to us. There's a benefit to us that we may not grasp fully. Because the Holy Spirit is doing a work. And so everybody in the atmosphere of what Holy Spirit is doing gets spill off, gets poured upon, gets touched, whether you ever utter a word or not. So the significance of just showing up has just unmeasurable value. One of the things I wrote as I was contemplating this at Orange Leaf, there is a strengthening simply from being from the overflow of being in the room. From the overflow of being in the room. That's how Abundant Life grew. We're all different people. We all function differently. Not everybody's going to pray the same. Not everybody's going to worship the same. Not everybody's going to do the same. But everybody can benefit from the simple act of showing up. And so this idea of Him positioning His ecclesia happens as we just show up. And maybe your position isn't as a man who was appointed to worship on the front lines, but you still have a position nonetheless. Your being there matters. Years ago, one of our original leaders from Abundant Life's name was Bill Arn. How many remember Bill Arn? There's more in the room than I thought would. Bill Arn has been with Jesus for a while now. But Bill Arn, and I was a young man in my 20s at the time, where I'd come down for prayer or whatever, and Bill Arn had these very large hands. And he'd put his large hand on me, and I know he did this with others, and he'd say, "It is important that you're here." And I know he said this too many. "It is important that you're here." And he never really explained why. Nobody knew it. Nobody, I think, even knew at that point that I was going to become the next pastor here. But the value of showing up and having that encouraged was so valuable. and has not lost its value. It has still not lost its value, the value of showing up. Whether it's men's prayer at 6:30 in the morning, or a class on Wednesday, or passing out hot dogs at the Christmas parade as we did yesterday. Some lady was so delighted, who had apparently never been there before. She posted this video of the guys passing out hot dogs and making such a fuss about it. She's like, here's the hot dogs and here's the ketchup. Steve Wellman was running behind the hot dogs with a bottle of ketchup and mustard. And she was just so delighted. And as we got on the trailer to head back to the church, we're driving down a little side street down there, and some people yelled, there's the hot dog guys. They had no idea where we were from. We didn't have any banner or anything identifying. We didn't care. We were just there to serve. But showing up still has value. It still has value. Yesterday, Anthony Monteleone again launched a prayer meeting in East Palestine. And 9 o'clock. Anthony is a policeman in East Palestine, and the Lord put it on his heart to launch a prayer meeting on Saturday, first Saturday of the month in Palestine. And it was about 20 degrees, and there was about 30 people there. And we just prayed for the community. We just prayed for the community. As simple as that. We were probably there 20 minutes. 20 minutes. He scheduled it from 9 to 9:30. He says it's not going to be very long. I think because of the cold, we didn't stay that long. But it's simply to be a light into the community and saying, hey, we know East Palestine's been through a lot, but we also know the only answer to recovery is Jesus. We could set up every government program possible. We could set up everything we could possibly think of to provide relief and counseling and answers, but the answer is going to be Jesus. In the past year, I've become part of the County Mental Health Board. I'm a member of the County Mental Health Board. And one of the things we talk about pretty much every meeting is something that has started in East Palestine, and it's called the East Palestine Resiliency Center. And they've come up with all these different things they're doing. And I'll be honest, I think they only have some value. Yoga, charcuterie boards, chair massages. And I'm not saying that those can't be valuable to help relieve stresses from people, but it is never going to get to the root of the problem. Amen. Only Jesus is going to get to the root of the problem. And I'm sure there's going to be some point, as me being a health board member, where I'm going to have to open my big mouth. Amen. Because the Lord doesn't appoint me to stuff for me to stay silent and speak the truth. But the only answer is going to be Jesus. The only answer is going to be Jesus. And so Anthony said, we're going to pray once a month on Saturday morning for a half an hour for my community. Positioning, showing up. Something else I wrote on my napkin. The weights and worries of the world get swallowed up when we show up in an atmosphere where Holy Spirit is present. They fall off. I'm not suggesting that the problems are always solved immediately, but we're not carrying around the residue. Another side note, recurring themes when we show up. We keep hearing about faith being bolstered, growing. I have the absolute privilege as senior pastor here to watch faith grow. to watch lives change. And I don't think I've ever seen a year where that has been more pronounced. Just people stepping into their identity in Jesus, taking their position, taking their position. And that position takes on various forms. And I'm not going to, I have way more scriptures, but I'm not going to go through all of those. But what I am going to do is that as you look at this graphic, I created this graphic and I just pulled out various positions of that the Holy Spirit just showed me. But the very first one there with that guy with our arms raised, just that idea of worship. We can all worship. We may not all worship like that, and that's okay. No one's going to tell you how to worship. There's a place, obviously, for raising your hands. It's scriptural. The scriptures talk about that. So we're not doing anything that's not scriptural when we do that. Not everybody's going to do that, but your position of worship matters. Your position of worship matters. So if you're in this room today, take up your position of worship, whatever that looks like. And if there's places in that make you uncomfortable, go into the uncomfortable. Be willing to go into the uncomfortable because he's going to do something. I don't know what that is, but he's going to do something. The second picture is there just somebody helping somebody. And, you know, anybody who's been a part of Abundant Life knows that that's something Pastor Don and Pauline modeled for us so beautifully, just how to care for people. How to care for people. And that doesn't mean, it can be people from within, or it can be people from without. It doesn't matter. Our ministry, obviously, as a pastor, my ministry is to the body first, but if I told somebody yesterday, if my ministry is ever just to us within, and I never get to go outside the walls, never get to love on a sinner, never get to invite a sinner, never get to have a conversation with someone who's still lost, then I've missed it. Because our ministry, what really matters is to the lost, is to the person that doesn't know about Jesus yet, that doesn't know about his amazing love. And so if we can help someone or encourage someone, and that encouragement may be as simple as putting a hot dog in their hand, feeding them. The third position, that's the one on the far left bottom, is just bow down in prayer. Just bow down in prayer. And I use both words, bow down in prayer. Because they're together, but they're separate. So the prayer part is obviously foundational. Pray, 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 pray. Pray continually, the scripture says. Pray continually. But the bow down part is a posture, not just of a physical posture, but it is a condition of the heart. Staying in that reverent bow down, you're God, I'm not. You have the answers, I don't always. Sometimes we do, sometimes we have the answers. But he provided them. He deserves the praise for that. So it's that bow down prayerful position, living there. Take up your position as a worshiper. Take up your position as someone who is going to reach into someone's life and care for them, even though you don't know what that's going to require, even though you don't know what mess that might look like. How many of you have ever gotten involved in messes? Many of us. But we do it again. We do it again because it's part of what we're called to do. The next picture over is a guy just standing watch. Watchman. And we hear that from time to time. I'm a watchman on the wall. I'm a person who watches and sees what's going on. And there's people that I believe are specifically called for that, but I believe that all of us have a play in that, have a part in that. First of all, you are the watchman for your own life. You are the watchman for your own life. Yes, we have other people that look out for us and watch and pay attention, and that's good. But you're the watchman for your own life. You're a watchman for your own obedience. The next picture is a group of people who are running a race together. They're running a race together. And I kind of equate that whole positioning of us just, yes, running a race together. We as a body, as Abundant Life Fellowship, are running this race together. We have a word every year. Our word is go and tell this year. We are going and telling, and we're doing this together, and we're encouraging one another in this. And the thing about the race that is going on that we're in is we are running it together. We are running it together. No one's trying to compete against the next person. There may be a person who's doing something up front that gets attention. There may be a person in the back that gets almost no attention, but is still very important to the equation because that part is very important. And that final picture is just a group of people gathered around the scriptures. And the whole idea, and we could apply this to several of these, is first of all, studying the word together, foundational. Anybody that's ever been around here knows that the scriptures are always going to be our strong foundation. We will never veer from the scriptures. The culture will tell us sometimes, well, that's outdated, or that's old, or that's old-fashioned, or whatever. We don't care. It's still the truth. Interesting thing I shared at men's prayer meeting yesterday. I read a story this past week that in 2024, this year, sales of Bibles has increased 22%. 22%. And a lot of those are first-time buyers. So the Word of God is still the living and active Word, and we will stand firm on it every time. And so that's part of our position. Part of our positioning is staying grounded in that Word, letting our eyes see it, letting our ears hear it, and not just giving it rote, kind of some sort of a rote obligatory attention, but studying it. Because I'm convinced there's going to come a day when they're going to be snatched from us. So it's going to have to be in us. It's going to have to be in us. So take up your positions. Take up your positions. And those are just six foundational ones. But take up your positions. Part of doing that is showing up. You know, this whole passage from Chronicles, you know, in that particular case, Holy Spirit spoke through a prophet, you will not have to fight this battle. That wasn't the case in every situation. There were plenty of other instructions that were given as wars waged, as physical wars waged, where they were given instructions, go here, go do this, go do that, go do that. But I want to tell you, the foundation of this one is so important, because we are prone to want to jump into action, which is not wrong, but if the action doesn't start with, I'm going to inquire of you, Jesus, I'm going to seek your face, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. If those are absent from that equation and we're just running full throttle and reacting to a crisis, a difficulty, a situation, we're going to mess it up. We're going to find us in a battle that is far worse than what it would have been if we'd have paused and started with this model that he gives in Chronicles. Worship team can come. Oh, they're already there. This work that is going on among us, one of the things that has been so clear to me as I've watched this unfold is that there's a vulnerability going on the part of this positioning that he's doing with us is this, he's making us vulnerable, that we can bring our real pains into the equation. We can talk about our real problems. We can step into some act of obedience without having all our ducks in a row, without knowing what it looks like. Last Sunday night, we had our last Sunday evening corporate prayer gathering here, and Bobby and Bethany's up here, and Bobby's over here, and they kind of led worship for it. And we remember about, I don't know, 3 months ago, was that about 3-4 months ago? Bobby's always been the drummer hiding in the drum cage. And I'm not speaking out of turn. He has said that publicly. And the Holy Spirit said, get out from the drum cage. I want you to learn how to play guitar. And so one of those prayer meetings a few months ago, he and Bethany led us in worship, and they sat right here. They sat right here on the steps. And there were some sound issues that night, and it was a little awkward, and he was sweating bullets. I mean, he was. His buckets, he says, buckets. But they actually sang that song that we sang today. I'm sorry for the things that I've made worship, the things I've made it. When it all comes down to it, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus. And they led us in that song and others that night with such a vulnerability, without apology, because the Lord was doing that kind of a work, and he's doing that kind of a work to bring us to the end of whatever we think, whatever value we have put on self-preservation. What if I look a mess? What if I fall apart? Doesn't matter. I remember years ago when I first had the first opportunity to teach a class that was called With One Heart. It was a leadership type class, and Pastor Don asked me to teach it, and I walked in the room, and it was almost all leaders. And I thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to teach these people? They're all leaders. And I remember verbalizing that. And I remember our dear sweet sister, Martha Arne, that's Bill Arne's wife. Here's what she said that set me free. You can fall flat on your face, we're going to love you anyway. You can fall flat on your face, we're going to love you anyway. And I was like, all right. So there's a willingness to allow ourselves to be vulnerable, to not have to be strong and tough and have all our ducks in a row. And believe me when I say I'm a guy that likes my ducks in a row. And the Lord has, Holy Spirit has just completely turned that topsy-turvy to say, step into it even when you're not ready. Even when you don't know what it's going to look like. Even when it might be messy. Even when you might fall apart. Even when whatever the next thing might be. The question for each of us today to consider is, what position am I supposed to be taking that I'm currently not taking? And the reality is we're not talking about just one position. You know, I gave you 6 examples in there, and there's more. Yes, you can take up more than one position. But it starts with showing up. starts with showing up. It may mean showing up for something that is just not convenient. I had a little bit of a cough this week, and I really didn't know. I really didn't know that it was that apparent until Keith in the office one day said, "I hear a cough up there." And he said, "Let it be gone in the name of Jesus." And I said, "Okay, I will take that." And so my wife wasn't real happy with me yesterday when I said, "I'm going to prayer meeting tomorrow morning. And then I'm going to go to prayer meeting in 20 degree weather in East Palestine." I didn't tell her that part. "And then we're going to go do some outside work at someone's house tomorrow. And then, of course, we have the parade tomorrow, which is outside." And I'm not saying any of that in any sort of a way to say, "Oh, look at you." I'm saying it to say that we take our positions sometimes whether we feel like it or not. And when I got home, my wife said, "How are you feeling?" I said, "I feel great. I wouldn't have traded anything. I wouldn't have traded anything from this day. And if I come home and I die from doing what I'm supposed to do, I will die." And she knows me well enough to know that. And I'm not saying be stupid. My wife would say I was, but I'm not criticizing her for that. I don't believe I was. I'm well. I receive my friend Keith's prayer. Be healed in the name of Jesus. And I honestly, if I'm being completely transparent, I don't believe I should even ever have a cold. But somehow I still get them and I don't like it. And I'm still standing firm that I don't have to. What's your position? What's your position? What position are you being molded and shaped to take? A clue. If it's already comfortable for you, throw that one out. And go to the next one. "Well, I'm already good at that, so that must be it." It's probably not. If Bobby had his druthers, he'd probably sometimes say, "I'm going back to hide in the drum cage." But instead, he's planning another trip to D.C. to lead worship. We'll be hearing more about it because some of us might be invited if you're so inclined. We'll be hearing more about that in the coming year. Let's stand. Thank you. quick reminder, if someone wants to get baptized, let me know. It's ready. It's very warm. But if you need prayer today, if you need someone to help you take whatever next step is necessary in your walk with Jesus, and maybe for some of you, maybe that's a first time thing. Maybe you've never taken a step toward Jesus to say, I need you, Jesus, I need you. There are people here who will pray with you. I'll pray with you. Or if it's just that next step into deeper waters, we want to help you. We want to help you. One of the things we've learned a long, long time ago, there are no Lone Rangers in the body of Christ. We do not embark on Lone Ranger tactics where you're carrying the load and you're this fierce warrior who is just knocking down giants left and right all by yourself. You will get beat up and you will die. So if you need prayer today, there are a whole lot of people here who will pray with you if that's what you want. Altars are open if somebody just wants to come and kneel and give your surrender, give your worship.